far are you going?
About 30 years.
In this week's episode,
we talk about the baddest cool cat in the galaxy, Space Adventure Cobra, the TV series.
We're talking about manga in the chat.
And that's right.
Like, I'm looking at Berserk, and it started in 89.
Yeah.
And it's got 6 more volumes more than Guyver.
Yeah, they both go on hiatus all the time. I think Guyver is technically a monthly. I don't know if Berserk is just like a weekly that goes on hiatus all the time, like Hunter x Hunter, or if it's a monthly as well.
But I mean, it used to be on monthly Animal House for 3 years or 4 years, and then it went to something called Young Animal, which is the present, I guess. Oh, okay, it's a magazine, seinen manga, and the Wikipedia article has an issue from 2006 with an Asian girl in a bikini.
Okay.
So that looks like the type of magazine that would host something like Berserk.
Have you seen the new anime of Berserk?
No, I haven't even seen the older anime for Berserk.
The old one is really good, but the new one is pretty terrible, unfortunately. The animation style is just bad. It's CGI, and it doesn't look good at all compared to the 90s one. My dog's going nuts. Can you hear him?
Yeah, I do hear him.
He sees the neighbor in his yard. Like, now that we've got a 2-story house, he can, like, see out the windows or whatever, and so he can, like, tell what's going on around here. And, like, whenever he sees someone else next door or whatever, that gets him barking.
There's a neighbor of ours that's got a big black, like, Labrador, and, like, when I first moved in, like, you hear that dog barking all the time because they just saw everything, and it's like, what is that? What is that? And I think what the guy did is just take the dog to work with him during the day.
Oh.
So then, like, during the day, it's pretty quiet. It hasn't barked in a while. Like, I was just like, what happened to that dog? And I think it's probably just gotten used to apartment living.
That would be nice.
Which, speaking of, since you went through a move, I'm going to be going through one in the next month or so, where I'm moving to this other breezeway across next to me in the same building. And I've pretty much boxed up a lot of my stuff, and there's still more crap in my room that I need to go through and sort through. And I'll try to get as much as I can done this week.
Yeah, if anybody's curious, I moved from Chandler to Mesa, so it's not really a big move or anything. And you'll probably still get the same convention coverage. Like, I missed the Icon. I think they're calling it now Arizona Toy Con this year. But
Okay.
Next year I'll probably go to that, and you know, it's not really like it's any farther from the convention centers or anything, so probably still do con report on Phoenix Comic Con and Amazing Arizona Comic Con and all that stuff.
Okay. The I'm still waiting to hear back on confirmation from our panel for AWA, but the only other convention that'll be coming up is going to be this book convention in Charleston called Y'all Con.
Oh, God.
And it's, well, I mean, it's in South Carolina, so it kind of makes sense, but it's supposed to be like a really big, like, book convention, and like Dory wants to go to it. And it'll be a nice change of pace to go to other conventions other than just the same anime conventions in South Carolina.
What if people do at a book convention? Do they dress up as Harry Potter or something? Or
I have no idea, John. I have no idea what kind of experience I'm going through. I just know the girl that wrote The Hunger Games is going to be there.
Well, there's that new Harry Potter book that came out today, so I feel like there's going to be a lot of people there that are hyped about that.
Yeah, it's weird for a book to be released on a Sunday in the States. Usually we release stuff here like on a Tuesday or mid during the week.
Yeah, it is weird.
It's just kind of like odd, like on a Sunday, like, you know, to release a book. And usually like Sundays, like stores close like half the day anyways. I mean, depending if it's like in a mall or something.
I think that today is, I don't know how I still remember this since I haven't read the books in like 15 years or something, but Harry Potter's birthday. In the book, like, the actual character is born on July 31, so they did it for that reason.
Oh, okay. I've only seen the first three movies for Harry Potter, so I can't really say too much about Harry Potter.
Yeah, I read all the books and saw all the movies when I was younger, but it's been a while, so I don't know how I remember that detail, but I guess it must have been in one of the first books that they mentioned that.
Oh, I mean, does Harry cast a spell relating to his birthday or something? Like,
well, they're always like
Summerus.
Always have it, like, flashbacks or whatever to like when he was a baby, and you know how his parents got killed by Voldemort, and that, like, they bring that stuff up all the time, so they must have mentioned it a lot.
Okay. I think my brother's playing a PC game, probably Insurgency. So, like, my connection might sound like crap in this call. Just FYI.
Okay. It seems fine so far.
All right, that's good. Hey, you know, we're 5 minutes into the call. We're probably about to get on topic what we're talking about.
Okay, yeah, I guess we should do introductions. So welcome to the Anime of Yesteryear podcast. Is this episode 100?
I have no idea. I figured this might be right before 100 or possibly after 100.
I think that number 99 was Pokemon Go, right?
Maybe 99.5, 99A, 99B, I don't know. What we could do is...
as good as anything for 100 since we've been teasing this as an episode for a long time.
Yeah. What we could do, John, is the fast karate way of getting to a big number was that for about a year, over a year, Fast Karate for the Gentlemen was about to reach their 500th episode.
Uh-huh.
And so what they did is, I guess they didn't know what to do, so they decided to label their episodes 499 A, B, C, D. I think they got to, like, M or O.
Why did they do that?
So, like, for a year, you just see 499 H, 499 I, and it was basically them wrapping up, like, JoJo's Season 3.
Wow.
So maybe we could just do that for 2 years.
What did they finally end up doing for number 500 that was worth all the wait?
No, it'll be 499Z, and everyone's going to be like, they got to go to 500 now, and it's just going to be like 499 Alpha, 499 Beta.
Are they still doing this, 499?
Oh, man, wait till we tackle the Hirakana and Katakana.
Are they still doing the 499 stuff, or did they finally get to 500?
No, they definitely switched. No, what made them go to 500 was... The summer season airing of 24 when that came back a couple years ago.
Oh.
They're like, all right, episode 500, let's talk about 24.
Oh, okay.
But now they might do like a once a month podcast because like one of the hosts is having a second child or probably already had it. And the other one is just like, hey, I'll just do recordings with my wife. And that's kind of most of the show. So.
Hmm.
Yeah, Fast Karate is kind of sort of dormant at this time, but I guess when you have starting up a family or the possibility of starting up a family, then that can happen. So they were able to record podcasts when they were married, but once kids came in the picture, it's like, nope, not so often.
Yeah.
Okay. So the topic is Space Adventure Cobra, correct?
That's right, because I just watched the whole thing finally. We got it from Right Stuff a while back, and we talked about the special features on an earlier episode, which there was the interview with Buji Terasawa that we talked about. But we didn't talk about the actual show because I didn't get around to watching it until this last week.
That's right. Yeah, because when we did the movie review, it was we brought up the special features on like the first DVD where I talked about it. I remember we mentioned that in the movie, but we never really talked about the show. And I got the show like when it just came out like 2 years ago from Right Stuff. And my collection is in a box. And I got when we got our collections from Right Stuff, and when they kind of signed up for the review thing, like my sealed copy is in the box of things I want to like hand out at panels at anime conventions I do. So I plan if my panel gets approved for AWA, I like to kind of hand that out to somebody there.
Yeah.
So they can enjoy Space Adventure Cobra.
But you include clips from your panels.
Stuff you're talking about in the episodes and even the plot summaries on Wikipedia. I barely remember what happened in some of those episodes, to be honest.
Uh huh. Some of them are just one shots where, Cobra goes to a planet and he has to steal something, or Cobra goes to the planet and there's a bad guy trafficking drugs, or, something like that, and it's just doesn't have much overall relevance to the plot, but it's just like a, just a fun adventure on a, a different set each episode, so. It's not like it has like one big meta plot in this show, really, other than the Pirate Federation or whatever trying to chase him down. But it's like kind of a very broad plot. And yeah, like a series of different villains.
I mean, some of these is like they're kind of one shots, and then so we were talking, because like the show has some like mini plots in it, or not plots, but like story arcs. The biggest ones is going to be really in the beginning where it's regarding the story arc is called The Three Sisters, which is Dominique, Jane, and Catherine Royale.
Yes.
And then it gets, to the Ultimate Weapon arc where Cobra has to take on, a lady called Sandra. And I remember her turning into like basically like the attack of the 50-foot woman or whatever in the middle of the desert trying to go after Cobra.
Yeah, the first arc, the villain is Crystal Bowie. And so the show starts off with, like, Cobra is, he's not sure who he is. And he asks his robot, like, what was I doing before 5 years ago? And then he goes to, a place where you can experience a vision by putting some headgear on, and it's like Total Recall.
Yeah, it was exactly like Total Recall.
and then he gets memories of his past self, and they're like, "Oh, we didn't have that as one of our films." And then he figures out that he has the psycho gun in his arm, and he figures out that he's Cobra, and that he changed his face, which they didn't really ever say how he did that in here, but like somehow he made himself change from like black or brown hair to blonde. And
yeah, well, he had longer hair and his jaw was really square.
Yeah, and he looked different.
I just know he did it because he had such a high bounty from the pirate guild.
Right, the pirates are like they're after him throughout all this because he is like not part of their cartel of piracy, and he's like an independent pirate, and they don't like that, so they're always trying to get him. That happens throughout the series. And then after they introduce him, they introduce the sisters, and like the first one they introduce is a bounty hunter. Was she the one named Jane, or was she Catherine? I think it was Jane, right?
All right, hang on.
Okay.
Let me check the great wonders of Wikipedia. Okay, so Dominique is the only sister that survives, and she's the one that works for the Milky Way Patrol.
Uh-huh.
But it's the other two, I think it was I thought Jane might have been the one that was the bounty hunter, and then there's one that named Catherine, where she's, according to Wikipedia, she's a timid school teacher, so she's like the very soft-spoken type. And then Jane Royale is the one that I think was the bounty hunter. And then you got Dominique, who's the government spy, which she actually, or not the government, well, yeah, she works for the government, the Milky Way Patrol. But, like, she basically shows up in the series and, like, gets, she's kind of like the money penny to Cobra. And where she, like, kind of, like, gives Cobra jobs and happens to go, like, hey, Cobra, I really need your help on this. And then he, you know, goes and does it because she's a hot female, so why not?
Yeah, she's the one who's in the most episodes. She gets introduced in the third. She's the third one introduced of the three, because the first two, they die while he's still going after Crystal Bowie. And this other guy called, I think it was Tarvage or Travage or something. Like, let me see if I can find what he's called. But he's like some underling of Crystal Bowie that's like a... He looks like Swamp Thing. He's some sort of living plant.
I think I kind of barely remember that.
Yeah, he was like the villain before Crystal Bowie, but he's like a hired help or whatever that's... And he kills this guy called Duck that's like an informant that was originally a villain, but then works with Cobra for a little while, and then he gets killed off. And then later on, there's another character called Duck that appears like right before the final arc, and he looks the same, but he has like a different role, and he's on a different planet. He's in the military or something. So it's kind of weird how they had two characters that had the same design and same name, but were different characters. But I guess that like all members of that species are all just called Duck, because the author couldn't think of a more original name for a character with a duck-like design than just Duck.
See, I don't remember Duck. I mean, like, some of these characters, it's just like towards the end, like, I don't remember what was it? It's, crap. The Emperor Salamander. Like, I don't even remember this guy, because he's, like, described as, like, a samurai or something like, or like a, according to Wikipedia, he's like the ghost of Adolf Hitler in a samurai outfit or something.
Yes. He's like the villain that shows up at the end. So I guess we'll talk about him last, but
yeah,
he's purple and he's got like a samurai helmet.
Okay, go
on.
Ahead and talk about it, because I do not remember him.
Well, it's like at the end, he kidnaps Dominique, and he's like floating outside her window, and she calls Cobra and she tells him, this guy is watching me. And then Cobra's like, oh, that's just me. And she's like, don't laugh, Cobra, don't make jokes, I'm about to get kidnapped. And then he grabs her, and like for some reason, her back, which has tattoos, all of them have tattoos, the three triplets. And their tattoos, like when they're overlaid, they make a map. And this is like a part of the first arc, but then they bring it back up at the end where... For some reason, her back with the tattoo is just, like, floating there in the hotel room. And then Cobra starts freaking out and, like, slamming the floor and saying, you failed. And then he assembles a team to go rescue her. Do you remember this part?
I don't.
Okay. So he goes to, like, a bar, and it's, like, a Wild West kind of bar. And there's this bald guy there who's, like... shooting people who are after his bounty. And then Cobra starts having drinks with him. And then they challenges him to a duel. And then right when they're supposed to shoot each other, they turn around and shoot two bounty hunters that are hiding in the trees. And then Cobra like uses his psycho gun. And then the guy's like, oh, so it's you, Cobra. And then he joins Cobra's team. And this guy can... transform into animals and people as well. So he's like able to at one point to impersonate Cobra's corpse to make it seem like Cobra's dead. And so he turns into like an eagle at one point and flies Cobra down out of a plane when they go to get this other guy that's, I don't remember what his name is, but he's in the music. In the North Pole or something, and he's like held in this dungeon by a salamander, and this guy has some powerful senses where he can smell and see and hear well or something. And then they rescue him. Mm-hmm. And then there's another one as well that they broke into a prison and rescued. And he's like strong, and he flies the plane for them after Leahy gets exploded by some bomb that Salamander sent. And then they go to a boxing or a wrestling match. I don't remember which one. It was pro wrestling. And Cobra like is a wrestler, and he's fighting this big black guy. And then Salamander is in the audience, and then Cobra attacks him, and then they find out that Salamander is the head of some weird space cult. And I didn't really understand this part of the plot, but for some reason he kidnapped Dominique and brainwashed her into thinking that she was the female leader of this cult that was like carrying on after he died or something, because he was a ghost. And then made her think that she was in charge of this. It almost sounded like Shinto, but it was something else slightly. It was like Shindo or something. It was like barely different. But then she was not believing Cobra when he told her that she was Dominique, and so he had to he had to defeat Salamander. And then Salamander had all his guys like doing see Kyle and saying glory to the Third Reich at one point, which was kind of weird. So he's like some sort of weird space cult leader that's also Hitler and a ghost. So it was all really strange stuff, but yeah, he was the last villain. And then eventually Cobra gets Dominique to get her memory back and defeats Salamander. And then the series is over pretty quickly after that. Lady gets put back together as well.
I don't really remember, the parts I remember was the very beginning and how he got the sisters, the whole thing with Crystal Bowie, and some of the other individual episodes, it happened after the Ultimate Weapon arc with Sandra, you told me about, it was the genie girl, that's the space genie girl, and they're gonna the guy who has his own harem of women. And so, if they disobey him, they swallowed a pill that apparently he says some sort of magic spell, and they blow it up really big and explode.
Oh, yeah. That happened in episode 13, which you said that was used pilot, English pilot.
So seeing how this is a Right Stuff-sponsored podcast, I'm here to tell you about the great deals that's going on through Right Stuff right now. As I'm checking my email, I currently see that there is a Viz Media sale, at least 33% off all manga, novels, and books, with the promo code VIZBOOKS16. That's VIZBOOKS16. There's also a Funimation sale, which you can save up to 40% off on select DVD and Blu-rays, and that is promo code FUN16, FUN16. So check out those promo deals from Right Stuff today. I'm not sure how long this is going to go on for by the time this episode comes out. Hopefully soon enough. So now, back to the episode. Yeah, I don't know if it was an account of the weather or my brother or what, but I don't know. Hopefully it should be good. I mean, this is essentially take two. I can't even remember what we're in the middle of some episode summary thing, but I could barely hear you and you can barely hear me. So we might as well just start over.
For what we did yesterday, I basically summarized the whole final arc and really said as much as I needed to about that. The Salamander one, since you had forgotten that, and that all recorded since my end was recording fine. But we should probably talk about Crystal Bowie arc again a little bit. We started to give a summary of the various characters that appeared in it.
Yeah. Okay. So you're just kind of wanting to continue it. Might as well.
Yeah. I mean, there's some stuff in there that's salvageable. It's just when we were talking about the episodes right after the Crystal Bowie and Weapon arc. That part was really glitchy, so we would need to talk about the genie episode again and the casino episode, Okay.
It was going fine at first, and then it just started, like, just jittering really bad. Like, we had the same issues from
yesterday.
Last night.
Yeah.
I sucks. Maybe your internet's the issue. I don't know.
It could be.
I really was hoping it wasn't.
They were supposed to make it faster when we moved, but that didn't really happen. If anything, it's worse.
Yeah,
typical.
I don't have bit. I'm not doing a daft where I have like BitTorrent running. I'm like, oh, I'm downloading 30 terabytes of Death Note and 1080p to the 10th power.
I thought for sure when you were talking about your anime storage being moved to your hard drive that he was going to chime in and be like, why don't you have 100 terabytes?
Because I can't afford it. Dude, the 5-terabyte hard drive, which it is still copying now and has another 13 more hours left, that was like 130-something off Amazon, and that was the best deal I can get.
Wow.
And 5 terabytes should last me. All right, so we're getting into the Crystal Bowie arc.
Right.
Yeah, basically, like, he gets the sisters, but again, two of them die. And then there's the one left that's Dominique, but then he goes to take on Crystal Boy. And I remember it being like a really good fight because he winds up does he shoot him with his Magnum or does he actually use the Psycho Gun? I thought he used the Magnum or he was about to or something.
Well, I don't remember. He like had something where he bounced off of him or something and then maybe he had to switch weapons or something. I don't remember exactly, but it was something like that.
Okay, and actually, according to the episode summary, it said that Cobra finds that a Psycho Gun is ineffective against Crystal Boy's polarized glass, but lead bullets work just fine.
Right.
However, bullets only have a temporary effect, so he shoots out. So in the final shootout, Cobra manages to defeat Crystal Boy. I guess maybe he, like, put a bullet in his in a Psycho Gun and shot it at Crystal Boy. So that might have been it.
And then in the fight, I think the last... Well, the last one of the sisters to die, I think it was Catherine.
Yeah.
But they had, like, some weird thing where when earlier on Jane was brainwashed by the plant villain, Travage or whatever, he like, made her go after the other sister, and then they both got injured, and then she, like, transferred her life force to... Catherine.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then Catherine dies as well, but without finding Dominique, so maybe the connection isn't quite as strong as in, like, the movie or whatever, where they all have to love Cobra or whatever. They didn't really include that in here. They just all happen to, you know, because everyone in the series loves Cobra.
Yeah, I remember, like, one. I think it was Jane that was going after Cobra. She had, like, this different, like, black outfit on, and she was, like, in this, like, hover. It was, like, one of those, like, it was, like, a hover ball or something, and, like, she's trying to take out Cobra, and he's in a jetpack or something like that. I remember that.
Yeah, that was early on.
Yeah, that was, okay. Like, that was one of the things I remember, and then, like... And then eventually it gets to the ultimate weapon, which is what their like their maps lead to.
Mm-hmm.
And so then that's when by episode 9 is when they start the ultimate weapon arc, and that's when they find Sandra, and she's in charge of these snow gorillas. And eventually they wind up on the sand planet, and then that's like it's like apparently the ultimate weapon's inside of like this big pyramid or something. And then Sandra winds up unlocking it, and that's when she becomes, like, the 50-foot, like, woman or whatever. And then Cobra has to, like, burrow underground with the turtle in order to take her out somehow.
Yeah, she, like, was supposed to return the weapon to the guild or whatever, and then she decided that it made her the most powerful thing in the universe, so she started attacking everyone on the planet, including her allies, and then... I think she was like, it would absorb whatever it was attacked with and then
mm-hmm.
become more powerful than whatever was attacking it.
Yeah.
But then Cobra was able to defeat her.
I didn't know he defeated her with the ultimate weapon or like he found some way to do it. I can't remember.
I think he taught her how to fly or something, and then somehow that caused a problem. I don't remember exactly. It probably says on Wikipedia. Do you have the page up?
All right. So the last episode, it's okay. So Cobra tried using a snow gorilla tank, and he's unsuccessful. So then he treats the turtle. Lady says that the ultimate weapon keeps duplicating until it duplicates the universe, and so the weapon must be destroyed. Cobra attacks Sandra and the ultimate weapon with the turtle before it has time to transform into a spaceship and defeat them. Sandra is killed and the ultimate weapon returns to its original form, and then Cobra hurls it into the sandy desert.
Okay. Sounds about right.
I think I barely remember the tank.
Yeah, he did use the tank on Sandra.
Yeah.
And then after that, there were, like, some one-shot episodes.
Yeah, there was the Death Roulette, which is basically Las Vegas station, the casino, like, space colony station or whatever. And then there's one about the genie guy who's a king, Demon King Galton. And so basically, like, Cobra blows up into a balloon, but then they wind up, like, defeating him. And then there's something called the Dragon's Crystal, or like the
Didn't
friend
you
of the
say
Dragon's
that
Crystal.
On the genie one, that you use some clips from it in the panels that you do.
Yeah, I've used it a couple of times. Basically, like I always mix that in with Goku Midnight Eye because I'm like, hey, here's some nude women that are doing weird things with their body. So in Space Adventure Cover, you got women like blowing up to like balls and exploding. And which isn't really that graphic because they kind of like blow up like the characters do in Hokuto no Ken, or because it's on TV, so it's like, okay, we can't use blood, so they're just like filled with Krispy Kreme cream or something.
I mean, it is a cartoon, so yeah, it's not that graphic, but it's like a
disturbing concept. But like, it's the fact of how disturbing it is,
right?
Because I first saw a GIF of that before I ever saw Cobra, and I was like, wait, what the hell did I just want to see?
Yeah.
Oh, that's weird.
You mentioned Goku Midnight. I actually saw that on DVD at the game store. I was just at Game Zone in Gilbert. They have like an anime DVD section, and they have that in it.
How much?
I think it's $10 for each of the DVDs in there, but a lot of them are, you know, they're like Chinese imported bootlegs or something a lot of the time.
Are they $10 per disc?
Well, $10 per DVD. Like, they have, you know, just one in a case. And it's usually, like, a single DVD with four episodes or whatever.
I mean, I thought it would be, like, an Urban Vision release that I never knew existed. And then I would have been like, John, I'll PayPal you $10 right now to give me Goku Midnight Eye. I don't care.
Well, maybe it is. Next time I'll check and see if it seems legit.
Yeah, just like Slack message me like, dude, I'm here, and just tell me the price. And I'll just be like, okay, here's the money. Just take it. Just buy it for me like right now.
I'm kind of
reluctant on that being a bootleg, but then again, it's just like, oh, I love to own Goku Midnight Eye.
I'm looking on Amazon to see if they've got a DVD of it or not.
Yeah.
And they've got one that says currently unavailable, but it says DVD. And it looks like it's the same cover. I think it's the Japanese DVD.
Okay.
But yeah, I think it would probably have both episodes.
I would imagine both can fit on a DVD. I would think so.
Yeah. They also had Macross Zero, which is something I've been meaning to see, but they only had volume 2 of it, and I don't know if that's you know, how many volumes there are, like how many episodes fit on each volume or whatever, but they had like 3 or 4 copies of volume 2 of that, and I know that's something that was never even released here because of Harmony Gold.
Harmony. Well, what's interesting is that Amazon Prime now has Mospita, Southern Cross, and Macross on their streaming service.
Yeah, that's and true. I don't know how they got the rights to that.
I'm glad they got the rights to it, unless Harmony Gold slipping and they can't do anything about it.
Well, how was it that in the 90s they were able to release some Macross stuff like Macross Plus and Macross 2?
Those were both released by Manga UK, so maybe there was something up where like Harmony Gold couldn't go after them at the time. And then also like Anime Ego, I think the license might have lapsed at that point before Harmony Gold got it back. So, or maybe the Robotech license lapsed or something happened to it. And that's why you had like ADV and Anime Ego put up their Macross sets, which now those are kind of sort of hard to find now.
Well, I mean, there were points when... Oh, my mic went out. Okay, I think my mic is back.
Okay.
There are points when Robotech was on TV during the 90s, but it was like the late 90s.
Well, it was on Toonami.
Right. And then like the early 2000s as well, which I think that would be like when the DVDs were coming out from Anime Ego and AEV.
Yes.
So,
yes.
And then they were, you know, they've always been re-releasing that stuff. Like, there are laser discs that I've seen at Bookman's of Robotech. And, like, yeah. then there's all the different DVD collections that they've done. And so, like, I don't know that their rights ever did lapse, because there were all these things they were planning. Like, I think there was something called Robotech 2000 or something that they...
That
they
never made, happened.
Yeah, they made, like, a CGI pilot or something for it.
Yeah, well, I think it was Robotech 3000, and then there was a Robotech game that was supposed to come out for the N64. The only thing online about it is, like, a test build.
I think I saw, like, a demo of it on the Robotech Protoculture Collection box set that I have. The last DVDs have, like, a bunch of, you know, bonus stuff that they made or tried to make. And then there was also... Robotech 2, the Sentinels pilot was on there. And I also have that on VHS. Which, that was like an American-made attempted sequel.
One of those,
It's fine so far.
I have no idea.
Yeah, so it was like cutting out right after I was talking about Robotech 2, the Sentinels. I could tell you were trying to say something, but it was like really choppy and then the call dropped.
Yeah, it still kind of sounds choppy now.
Okay.
My only option would be probably to go to a coffee shop where you get to hear background noise.
So far I can hear you, but is it cutting in and out of what I'm saying?
It sounds all right now.
Okay. Well, maybe we finally are going to be able to do it. I don't know. Maybe not. It's...
Yeah.
Kind of lame how we keep having all these technical issues. I guess we should just get back to Cobra instead of talking about Macross and Goku Midnight Eye, though.
That's, yeah. I mean, I was saying about, like, the only thing I was saying about the Sentinels was that I've got it on one of those Robotech sets from ADV that they would release, like, with a couple of DVDs and then a bonus DVD with it. And so I got two of those. One that's got the Sentinels moving. The other one's got the Super Space Fortress Macross pilot. So, like, I'm content with having both of those in my collection. And then I've got the A&E DVD set that they put out, like, a couple years ago. And, like, so I've got all of the Macross Saga of Robotech, like, on one of those regular DVDs where they cram, like, 5 discs in it or something.
Oh, yeah. You never even finished watching that, did you? You only watched, like, half of it?
I saw half of Robotech, like, a decade ago.
Yeah.
So I never finished it. But eventually I will, probably, perhaps.
Yeah, it's pretty entertaining, even though it's, you know, not the most accurate dub at all. So with Cobra, did they ever try to make a dub beyond just the first episode, or?
Not that I know of. I think the dub was just probably just the test dub or something, or maybe like a dub to try to sell it. And maybe that was the dub that Harmony Gold was, like, maybe they had the license for Cobra at one point. And then they are like, at least the TV, and they're trying to basically write stuff. Or Nozomi was able to get that and put that on the DVD collection, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I guess we should just be glad it got a release at all. It would have been nice if Write Stuff had done a dub, but I think generally they don't really do dubs for pretty much stuff, so.
Yeah, that's true. I thought we talked about the Rugball arc a little bit last night, or at least mentioned it.
I don't know if we got to that part.
Okay, like, I thought, like, once they got to Rugball, like, I was, like, really excited. Like, that's, like, when it feels like the show really kicked up.
That was the, like, the sport that they invented for the show where it was, like, an extreme version of football mixed with baseball.
Well, it's, like, basically gladiator fight to the death followed by add some baseball to it and have them wear football helmets and pads, you know, for protection.
Uh-huh.
It's interesting because the game is played like it is baseball, but the pitcher has like one of those gun mounts that's in American Gladiators that shot Nerf balls or tennis balls out of it. And they have one of those like sentried on the pitcher's mound, so they use that to shoot the rug balls out. And the rug balls are like these spiky little tennis balls that they shoot out, and they play the game like it is like American baseball. Which is interesting. And so then you have like your, you know, first, second, and third baseman and some outfielders. But it's like a very limited team. I think there's like one outfielder and then they got everybody else on the inside. So there's no shortstop, there's no cutoff man or anything. It's pretty easy, but like it's pretty much like anything goes where like it's physical violence. You can punch a dude in the face or, you know, trip him up or whatever and it's fair play.
Well, people are always getting killed.
It's a very extreme baseball.
People are always getting killed while playing it. Like, there's this family of characters that Cobra befriends, and they're on his baseball team. And then there's this guy that keeps, like, snapping their necks while playing the game and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then when that guy finally goes down, that was pretty satisfying.
Yeah, he was, like, the biggest jerk of the one. But, like, Cobra's there because Dominique sends him on assignment. Because there's, like, drug smuggling happening. And so eventually, like, Cobra sends the information to Dominique outside the field by hitting a home run. Or, like, a grand slam or something. But inside the Rugball ball happens to be, like, this microchip to prove that there's drugs there. Like, all this information. So, just, like, everything so happens works out the way it does because it's Space Adventure Cobra.
Yeah. At one point, Cobra fakes his death, as happens all the time in this. And he, like, you know, he gets taken to the morgue, and then he sneaks out and, like, is finding some details about the drug ring that the sports company is doing or whatever.
Yeah.
And then he, like, while he's gone, like, all the other guys are getting killed by the other team. So then he has to, like, come back and save them. And then I think they end up winning. He picks, like, for his team, they're, like, they've got like this computer that's got all the different players, and there's like some thousands of them or something. And Cobra finds the one where it says there's only six of them in this league, where all the others have like 30,000 or something. And he's like, "What's this about?" And he says, "These are the players that this is like the manager that's like also evil saying this. These are the players that nobody can get along with, and they're all problems."
And that's right, because Cobra builds his team. I remember that. He builds his team, and then he gets – and he basically – like, it's funded by, like, the Milky Way Patrol or whatever. Dadgummit! All right, you there?
Yeah. I heard you yell, Dadgummit.
Gosh! Fucking Sky, you piece of – ah!
I was still hearing you.
Anyways,
But it was, like, freezing up on – it looked like Skype was going to quit, but then it didn't.
I'm wondering, like, the connections on my end. It has to be.
It could be both of our ends, really.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I see there's, like, a little icon of Skype on my Mac where it's got, like, a check mark sometimes. And sometimes it's empty.
Yeah.
And that, do you have that icon as well?
My icon to show internet connection is just, like, it looks like a cell phone bars. And it shows, like, you highlight over and it's quality or call quality information. And now it's yellow saying that there could be some issues with it.
Yeah, mine is like going in and out.
It's mostly yellow every time I talk on Skype.
Right.
Oh, great.
It tends to have problems where it keeps going back and forth and showing like that it's got low call quality. Well, at least we can still hear each other, though. It seems like it's not quite as bad as yesterday, so we might as well just power through it and talk about the rest of the show, huh?
Yeah, I apologize, people who are still listening to this. I'm going to try my best to edit the heck out of this thing to at least not make it sound too awkward, but there's no telling.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Cobra builds up his team, and that's how they kind of get along, and I think they're funded by, like, the Milky Way Patrol or whatever. And so that's how the team forms, and they're the players that, like, they can't get along with any other team. They're sort of the rejects, and then Cobra builds upon that.
Yeah, and there's, like, these three brothers, and then there's this guy who likes to play cards, and then there's some other guy that Cobra already knew, I think. And then he's able to get them all to trust him eventually. But the manager is, like, trying to play him against the team and telling him that he should throw the match and that he would give him a slot on the A team if he did that. But then Cobra says no, and he has his team compete all out, even though, like, they were being underestimated. So this is kind of like an underdog kind of story that they were doing with this arc.
Yeah, it's a huge underdog story, and that's what makes it good. It's like, okay, you know, you got this team that their chances of winning are very low, but then they pull it off at the very end. Yeah, I'm still here. You were talking, and then it cut out, and then all I heard was, like, silence for a few seconds.
Oh, I was saying, even though some of them died because, like, they were, you know, being killed by that Gerd or whatever his name is that was, you know, the A-team guy with the long hair that he kept, like, harassing women and killing the other players and stuff, but they were still able to win the game at the end.
Sure.
Okay, I just reset my router to see if that would help.
Okay.
So, hopefully one of the two things that we did, or both, was effective.
Alright, well, I went to my brother's computer, and he had something updating, and I was like, nope! And then I closed him out of his Firefox browser.
Okay.
And then I closed out of Google Chrome.
Okay.
This should be the only internet thing working. I know my mom's on her freaking laptop right now, but she checks Facebook. That doesn't use that much data. I'm not sure. I don't know.
All right. So, yeah. Hopefully the update thing was the issue.
Okay.
He's not playing video games or anything?
No, he's doing stuff tonight. So I figure, like, we had a better shot doing this since he wasn't on. But, like...
Oh.
Anyways, I don't...
Didn't you say they were going to redo the internet there? Like, some different company is going to be doing it?
Eventually, in maybe a few months. There's no telling. We're supposed to be getting fiber optics here, but I'm not sure when exactly that's going to happen.
Okay.
Because they're still trying to work out the fine details for that. That's all I know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe my internet worked better, like, over in the next breezeway.
Maybe. So,
yeah. I don't have any notes in front of me for Cobra. But the only thing I wanted to mention was, like, in terms of the episodes that came after Rugball, unless you still had a few more things you wanted to talk about it.
No, I think we covered Rugball pretty well.
Okay. The other one I thought of, which is, like, it still sticks out in my mind, was the one where, like, Cobra's on vacation, and then he, like, gets... Somehow he's gets sort of hooked up with these water or like mermaid women or something.
Uh-huh.
And they're like cybernetic mermaids or something. And like he's in the shower with one of them and he gets off a strand of hair, but he like feels it and he's like, oh, this is like metallic or something. And so basically it's some sort of, the water cyborg resistant, female resistance movement, or like, I don't know, army or whatever that's underwater. And basically, like, Cobra takes him out. Well, he finds out that, like, because their hair feels metal or weird, it's like that's how they breathe underwater. So they're really like robots or whatever. So he happens to go into their underground base and just starts wreaking havoc. And then he fights them underwater, which He uses his cigar. We didn't mention Cobra Cigar. Cobra Cigar does a lot of cool things, including being used as smoking as the main purpose, but it's also used as a flashlight. I thought like a GPS tracker at one point, and even an underwater breathing apparatus.
Yeah, that episode, it kind of reminded me of like a James Bond movie or something, like Thunderball.
To me, that's like one of the best episodes in the series.
Yeah, it was a pretty good episode. And like the way he used the cigar, it's like a Bond gadget or something, you know?
Yeah, and he gives Dominique one too.
Yeah.
And then there's also, they're like underwater, and then like he eventually, like apparently the woman that's controlling this like water femme or gynoid rebellion or whatever, like is in this battle armor. And doesn't she like swim around on some giant like weird alien fish or something? And then Cobra at the last minute, like she's heavily armored so his psycho gun can't penetrate her unless he's underneath her, and then like shoots upward where it goes like right directly like through her uterus and out on the top of her head.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Oh, it was. I saw that. I was like, "Yeah, that's awesome." Oh.
Yeah, I think that was right after the Swordians two-parter. Do you remember that one?
I don't. There was another one I do remember. It was the one with the little robot that's like in the junkyard. And he has an important mission regarding like the security of something in a bank. But then also the robot has the ability to do time travel at the very end when things get really messed up.
Oh, yeah.
And then at the end, so then like it basically does a deja vu where it goes back to the events of like Cobra looking at the robot. Only this time it's an alternative reality where basically like Cobra doesn't get the robot but like kicks it away or something.
Yeah,
and just keeps on walking.
The robot is like at a garage sale or flea market or something.
Yeah, I think he's like a galactic patrolman or something, and he was like on a mission, but like something happened where like his memory's messed up.
For some reason, he is like handcuffed to this hand, and the hand is like belongs to some cosmic villain or something.
That's it. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah, and then like when Cobra takes it, it somehow messes up like the villain being trapped or something. So then he has to go back in time and like reverse this.
Yeah,
it was pretty strange.
They tried fighting it, but he was too powerful.
Uh-huh.
The only thing the robot had to do was basically like reverse time before like Cobra saw him.
Right.
And like as soon as I saw that, I was just like, I went back to the same thing, and he like scoots it away, and I'm like, oh, what?
Yeah.
It felt really weird seeing that because it's like they have this grand adventure, and then like it's like all for nothing. Like it never happened. I was like, that's actually kind of cool.
I think this is like this and the next one. You know, you can tell the influence on Space Dandy because at the end of the Space Dandy show, there's like, you know, they rewind time and it ends with the start of the first episode again.
Oh yeah,
and then
the things that are different was Dandy likes booty instead of boobs,
right? there was also the next episode after this where he's like looking up after a kid. Which I think was episode 26, and okay. and he was they were in a desert or something, and there was like a war going on, and then he was in a cave with some people, and he had to look after this kid and deliver them somewhere, and then they had to figure out which one of these people in the cave was the traitor, and it turned out to be this woman that was like the leader of the group, and then. She turned out to be a villain. Do you remember that episode?
I do not.
Okay. That was one of the last episodes, maybe the last episode before the final five-parter. And it was like, also had Duck in it. You know how I mentioned that there's this character called Duck who shows up in two separate episodes?
Yeah.
So, yeah, and then... And before those string of one-shots we were just talking about, there was also the two-parter with the Swordians, which these were some guys that were talking swords that they have, like, a suit of armor that they control. And, if the sword gets cut in two, then they die. And the sword has, like, a little face on it, and it talks.
I think I do remember that, yeah.
And they were on, like, a desert planet. And there's, like, an old guy And he tells them about the Sordians, because the Sordians, they, like, took over this planet, and all the people there hate them. And then this old man is a Sordian, and he's like, the good king of the Sordians is held in our dungeon, and you have to go rescue him, Cobra. And then Cobra goes and gets this old guy out of the prison, and he uses him as his sword, and then he's, like, in a suit of armor, and he's battling the other Sordian king, and then the other Sordian king, it turns out to be, like, a robot for some reason, and then Cobra, like, blasts him with his psycho gun. Do you remember any of that?
I think I barely remember that. It does sound familiar.
Yeah.
I think it's just the fact that there's so much that happens in Space Adventure Cobra that it's really hard to keep up with, like, everything when you try to remember it later. And I just happen to remember the parts that, like, I guess really stood out to me. Because I was like, you know, every episode I saw of Cobra, I was just like, oh, man, this is, like, the greatest show ever made. And I still stand by that, even though it's hard for me to remember every single episode 2 years later. And what I should have done was go back and rewatch this, but I wasn't able to, so.
Okay, so I'm looking through here, and then there was also another episode that we didn't talk about yet, which was episode 15, which was, there was this guy called Vega, and this episode starts off with Cobra is with his original identity, so it's like a flashback to a few years earlier.
Yeah.
And he's battling against all these spaceships, and then the sheriff of this planet called Wing, he gets the pirate guild to withdraw, and Cobra thanks him and says, we'll have to come back later and have a drink. And then Cobra, you know, he leaves for a few years, and then he comes back, and he goes to save the planet, which has been taken over by the, you know, the evil pirate guild.
Right.
And then he finds the Sheriff Vega, but he's sick, and so he's they go to rescue this dragon crystal thing that's in the guild hideout, and he can transform into this different form where he gets wings. After 6 hours, he dies after getting the wings, though. So they have to, like, save that for the, like, right after Cobra has rescued the crystal in order so that he can fly away and escape. And then they manage to do that and get the crystal back and save the planet. So that was kind of a cool episode.
I do remember that one too. It does sound familiar.
And then after that, there was the Rugball episodes. We already talked about those.
Yeah.
Then the Sordians. We talked about those. The Underground Visitors. Okay, this is the one where it was like there's a Cobra goes to visit this old guy who built his ship. Do you remember that one?
Not really.
It says that he finds Harvey the robot that shows him a videotape, my Jingalo, before his death about the Pirate Guild takeover of the local mines and kidnap of his granddaughter Yuko. So then Cobra has to battle the Pirate Guild and find the place where they're making drugs, and then he destroys it and rescues the granddaughter and the robot. So,
okay.
Yeah, that was an okay episode. Not one of the most memorable ones, but
yeah, I just have the ones that just really stick out in my mind, which is the ones I was, like, really excited to talk about. And it was really just the Rugball arc, the one with the robot, the underwater fembots, and, like, basically, like, the story with, like, Crystal Bowie and the Ultimate Weapon. That's all that, like, I remember more of the beginning than I do the ending.
Okay, then there's one more, episode 25, which is called Cobra Died. which of course Cobra did not die, but he like pretends to die at one point during the episode, as he often does. And so he steals some diamonds, and then let's see, it says there's a woman that tells him about how to get to the pirate headquarters, and then she gets frozen in liquid nitrogen and killed. That was probably the highlight of the episode. And then Lady gets threatened by the villains in this episode. So then Cobra has to say where the diamonds are, and then they go to get the diamonds, but then Cobra kills them and rescues Lady, and so yeah, that was an okay episode as well. The best part is probably at the end where it says he goes after Reed on a jet powered skateboard, attacks their truck, takes out the cyborgs, and retrieves the diamonds. I remember there was some good animation there where he's like skating alongside the truck on a skateboard, and like there's really good animation in the show, I thought, where it's like very fluid, and like for an 80s anime, like it seems to have a lot of frames, and it doesn't really reuse animation when characters are moving or anything like you sometimes see in anime.
Especially older anime, like usually that's like the big perpetrator of frames being used and reused over and over to save animation. But like with Cobra, it's just like everything was like always brand new looking. I mean, maybe like they reuse for animation for like when he shot his psycho gun, but that's about it.
Yeah, it always looked like it always flowed. It wasn't really like if you watch Voltron or something where they'll reuse the same footage of the lion transforming for several minutes each episode.
It's something about mecha anime in the 80s and of course the 70s that is always like reusing animation, which is like it's a big budget TV station, or not station, but like, you know, a big company. Like you got Bandai and Sunrise, they're toy companies. But they don't want to dump all their money into the animation, though. They got to save that for reproducing toys for kids to buy. So it doesn't really matter like how the animation looks as long as they can sell toys. And Cobra had like there's really, in terms of the market on what you can get for Cobra stuff, there's really like some video games and some action figures, and I know they made a replica like cosplay of the Psycho Gun, and that's about it.
There's a Sega CD game. Do you have that?
That's probably one of those PC 88 games that got ported to Sega CD, kind of like how Snatcher was. But no, a Space Adventure, that's the Cobra game we got in America, and that one is again one of those rare Sega CD games that I would love to own and you know play on a physical thing, but at the same time, it's really expensive because the collectors are all into that. So your best bet is to play that like on an emulator and get the ISO or the ROM for it. Which I think that's how I played it on my Sega CD emulator on my computer, which works.
And then we've got for the maker of this game, they made it was a TMS, which I guess their animation was probably, you know, better than their competitors at this time.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, TMS is still around. I believe they're the ones that have the license to Cobra, or at least to the property. Or I mean, like it's still owned by Buichi Terasawa, but I think it's like in terms of the animation and stuff, is TMS still has the rights to that. At least that's through them distributing like the TV series in Japan, I think.
Probably. And then have you seen any of the later stuff that came out, which was like the OVAs and stuff?
Yeah, there's Time Drive, there's Psycho Gun, and there's Cobra the Animation. No, I haven't seen any of those yet.
It says on Wikipedia that they're Sentai Filmworks, but I've looked up like online and I can't really find them on Amazon or anything. Like, are they out of print or something? Or maybe Wikipedia is wrong.
They might have put it out like a few years ago, But, like, if it did, it's probably well out of print at this point. But, like, I don't know if I've ever seen it, like...
Yeah.
I mean, Sentai has the TV series, Discotech still has a license in the movie, which the movie is already or probably will be coming out on Blu-ray. Because they have a DVD print, but I know they put it out on Blu-ray or we're about to.
Oh.
Like, they're about to put GoGo 13 movie out on Blu-ray, and I'm like, well, great, now I gotta own it from Blu-ray. Like, I get as much GoGo 13 as I possibly can.
Let me see if they've got Cobra Blu-ray on Amazon yet. Oh, when I search Cobra Blu-ray, it brings up Sylvester Stallone.
It's probably going to be the...
This is on Blu-ray. It came out in December.
It's one of those, like, don't get this confused with the Sylvester Stallone Cobra movie that came out, like, in 86 or something.
Yeah, that was the first few listings.
It's a great movie, by the way.
They've got, like, three listings of the Sylvester Stallone one, and then they've got Space Adventure Cobra, which it says it came out in December of last year on Blu-ray, and then it's got G.I. Joe Rise of Cobra as the fifth listing.
Wait, Rise of Cobra, is that... Oh, that's that second live-action movie that came out a few years ago.
Right. I haven't seen anything G.I. Joe since Sigma 6,
I haven't seen anything of G.I. Joe, period. Like, I haven't seen the live-action G.I. Joe movies with Dwayne Johnson. I haven't seen any of those yet. I guess eventually I'll have to. I don't know. But, yeah, and I own Cobra, the Stallone movie on DVD, so I'm good there.
Have you seen the 80s G.I. Joe cartoon or anything?
No, I know they made a G.I. Joe cartoon or animated movie in the 80s, but I've only seen the opening to it where, like, it's Cobra's men parachuting on, like, New York and, like, around the, like, I think the G.I. Joe crew takes over, or no, they're trying to attack, like, the Statue of Liberty. And while they're doing it, they're, like, all in this, like, singing ensemble. They're like, Cobra, Cobra.
They used to have that show on, the SBS block, which they had on Saturday nights, like, between, you know, when Adult Swim Action was on there in, like, 2002, 2003, they had, like, they had the SBS blocks where they had, like, G Gundam and Gundam 0080 and Don Haxine and Kenshin and some stuff like that. And yeah. I think they did have G.I. Joe on there at one point, but I think that's probably the last time that G.I. Joe aired anywhere outside of the hub, because, like, Cartoon Network, they used to air it in the 90s and early 2000s, but then after 2004, I think they haven't aired it any since then, except for, you know, the hub, but the hub doesn't really, it doesn't exist anymore, and, like, it didn't get very good ratings when it was around, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And they've still got, like, some of those Hasbro shows on Discovery Family, but they don't really... you know, air much other than My Little Pony a lot of the time, it seems like.
I feel like those older shows, they're already out on DVD, so then, like, I guess people feel that they can, like, they can just go out and buy the DVD if they're that interested in watching them instead of just using up a television block. But, you know, like, you have a television block, but they're like, oh, we can't use it for cartoons, but we gotta use it for educational informational TV.
Yeah. Like, most of Discovery Family, I think it's, like, you know, animal shows or whatever. Like, that seems to be the thing that they have to include now for all these channels to be educational or something. They teach you how to milk a cow or something. I don't know.
Well, we've had this talk before, and it's just, like, it all leads to, thanks, Obama. Like, I'm sure I can make that case of, like, oh, what great things has the Obama family done? Nothing. They killed Saturday morning cartoons.
Donald Trump going to make Saturday mornings great again?
He sure as hell better.
He would probably, like, demand that the FCC air at least 1 hour per day of The Apprentice on all channels or something like that.
Maybe. Or he might do like a his Celebrity Apprentice is just going to be like celebrities like trying to run for positions and like the government. So it's just funny. Like Paul Ryan like just up and quits the day Trump gets into office, and so then he has to make a reality show of who's going to be Speaker of the House. All right, Dennis Rahman, what you got? You're pretty good with dealing with international policies, and like you've talked to people overseas that we have hard times trying to get with, and he'd be like, yeah, yeah, I talked to that crazy mother effa in North Korea, Kim Jong-un or whatever. Like, he think I'm his homeboy. So, like, if we do that, then, you know, I don't think they're going to be nuking us, like, for right now. I mean, that's...
Yeah, Paul Ryan's probably going to be out of a job before long when he gets primaried in Wisconsin, so...
Oh, man.
He's going to have to be going on the Celebrity Apprentice to get a new position.
And now you don't wonder why Boehner left when he did.
Yeah, I bet he's glad to have gotten out.
He just looks at all this, he's like, glad I got out of that shitstorm. Well, do we have anything else to say on Cobra? I'm pretty good. I mean, gosh, I mean, the internet connection's kind of like, I didn't want to say ruined it for me, but it was just kind of like kind of jarring. But I think we kind of said everything about the show. Yeah, definitely pick this up from Right Stuff. I mean, we got our DVD collections in like back in February or whenever. So now we're getting around to talking about this now.
Yeah. Okay, so I found some tweets from let's do closing remarks, I guess, this week. We kind of covered Cobra at this point. And yeah. Relating to Donald Trump and Dennis Rodman, I found some tweets that he made about him. And he says, I am very impressed by Dennis Rodman. His return to this season's Apprentice NBC showed who Dennis really is, which is very good. So I guess at some point he was actually on The Apprentice. And then later on he said in 2014... Dennis Rodman was either drunk or on drugs, and then in parentheses, delusional, when he said I wanted to go to North Korea with him. Glad I fired him on The Apprentice. Crazy Dennis Rodman is saying I wanted to go to North Korea with him. Never discussed. No interest. Last place on Earth I want to go to. So we can look forward to this guy trying to broker a peace in North Korea after he says this is the last place on Earth he wants to go to.
Yeah, it's funny how he's just like, oh, Dennis Rodman didn't work out. I was like, oh, is that supposed to be a surprise to you? Maybe I have to give him some credit. Two things, really. One, Dennis Rodman was on the Chicago Bulls when they were like the powerhouse NBA team in the 90s with Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen. That's it. Yeah. And then also, in the height of his popularity, he made Double Team with Jean-Claude Van Damme, which is, if you've ever seen the review from, I can't believe I'm throwing this name out, but Doug Walker, when he reviewed Double Team, and he had tried to make it a meme with frying the Coke when they used, in the movie, Coke products in order to shield themselves from a C4 blast of blowing up in a stadium, because that also was true. I don't know if he ever saw that review or whatever, but like, I just remember that in Doug Walker's review, he's just like, oh man, we gotta turn this into a meme, it's awesome. And I'm like, and then guess what? It didn't go anywhere.
Oh, this is the Nostalgia Critic review?
Yeah. It's been a couple years since he did that.
Yeah, I kind of like paid attention to him for like maybe a year or two when he was first getting started and he had that feud with the Angry Video Game Nerd. But I just generally find his reviews to be annoying, so I didn't really keep up with him after a certain point.
So, speaking of annoying reviews that I found out that came out July 30th, our least favorite person to review anime, you know, do I need to say his name?
Go ahead.
I figured you wanted to say it.
Okay, let me find it in the...
Take a guess.
In the chat, you were posting the video of it earlier, which it had this like really ugly thumbnail where he was Bennett the Sage trashing the AD police.
Yeah. Man, the call cut out. I guess
I could always just pull the whole ghost excuse where it's like, damn it, Bennett the Sage has hacked our network. He's hacked us. He's hacked our podcast. It's all his fault.
You need some cans to smash.
I've only got one bottle in my trash can. I actually pick up after myself, unlike other radio hosts out there that are capitalists. You figured a capitalist would be very tidy, but they're not. So yes, Ben of the Sage continued his bubblegum crisis anthology thing, where he did a review of 80 police files, and it was like, off the bat, this is the darkest and worst thing of the bubblegum crisis metaverse, whatever that means. And as soon as I heard that, I was just like, why am I wasting my freaking time wanting to watch this? And then guess what? I watched the entire thing, which was just him finding everything wrong with 80 police files to try to like put it in its perspective that it's terrible and no one should watch it. When in actuality, 80 police files is probably one of the best entries to Bubblegum Crisis out there. And like, it's still licensed by Anime Ego. So like, and I told Robert this, like when, if he gets the Kickstarter to fund it on, when he gets the thing to go on Kickstarter to fund 80 police files on Blu-ray, like I told him, like, hands down, I want to work on that because, like, I'm like, this is, I love 80 police files. I honestly think 80 police files is probably better in some aspects than most of Bubblegum Crisis. And I think they did a lot of cool things with it, even though it's dark and gritty. But, like, it seems like anything that's, like, sort of creatively, like, kind of cool, like, Sage is like, oh, I got to find something crappy to crap on it. But he's a freaking hack reviewer anyways. And it just amazes me that people want to reach out to him for his opinions.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll have someone at AnimeCon tell him what you think of him.
Yeah, we'll have another person. Actually, I could probably like call up our super agent, Corey Schwadowick, and be like, hey, you're under orders now to go find Ben at the Sage of the next AnimeCon and tell him that he's a hack because he hates 80 police files. And, you know, he is a hack. So, and tell him we said so. Corey, if you're listening, just say don't really physically do any harm to him for a night or more in jail. Like, I feel like Corey's like a Bourne, like if we had like one of like a Treadstone program from Bourne, Jason Bourne series, and like he's like our sleeper agent that just goes around to like other really crappy anime reviewers and tells them that like we say they're really shitty.
We'll have to dispatch
him
again.
Speaking of, I saw the new Jason Bourne movie Friday. It was all right. So
yeah,
like, I haven't even seen the other two movies. I only saw the first two, and that's been over a decade. And then I see this one like in theaters, and I have no clue. It's still a fun action movie.
Yeah, it looks like the call quality is getting worse again. But I did manage to guess that you saw Jason Bourne. Stay tuned for.
I didn't.
Oh, are you back?
Are you? Yeah, I'm back now. Were you about to end the podcast?
Yeah, because it seemed like it had dropped off again.
I mean, like, I don't blame you if you were trying to.
Yeah, I was. So I did catch your review of Jason Bourne, but then after that it cut out.
The thing is, like, I can't, even though I can't hear anything you're saying, it's still going to pick up in the recording. I'm the one that's going to sound like crap.
Yeah. I mean, I could hear your Jason Bourne review, but it was like, it was getting, like, distorted, and then after that, it dropped off entirely.
Jeez, freaking internet. I hate this.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know why the past 2 days have been terrible for both our ends. Like, usually that we've been pretty good for a while on connectivity with Skype, no less. But yeah. I guess the good times don't roll for very far.
Yeah, it never lasts with Skype. Have you seen how Slack has like a call option now? Do you know what that's about?
I don't. Oh, and now I see it. Start a call in this channel. Hold on.
I think let's just end this recording here, and then we'll test that out.
Yeah, let's figure that out. Let's get out of Skype right freaking now.
Okay. Well, in the future, look forward to episodes on the Gundam Build Fighter shows, which we've been sent by Right Stuff, and Magic Users Club TV, and Suicide Squad.
Yeah, I wanted to say a lot more Bennett the Sage other than just I can't stand him. I do want to say that, like, I was on, like, a Twitch channel with Anime World Order when they were streaming Payday 2, as they usually do every once in a while. And they basically, like, in their podcasts, they always mention, like, those people that are, like, the terrible anime reviewers. And Gerald Rathkolb off the bat was like, when we mention, like, generally people, we really mean Bennett the Sage. So we always mean Bennett the Sage is, like, the worst person out there reviewing anime. Because they're like, yeah, and then they went on this, like, 20-minute tirade on, like, YouTube reviewers and how much they all suck and they should just die off, like Bennett the Sage. It was fantastic.
That reminds me of how Ghost is always ranting about YouTubers. He's ranting about FoozyTube and whatever those other guys are, PewDiePie and all that.
Yeah, well, the thing was, is, like, that guy with the glasses people... They weren't on YouTube. They had their own streaming, like their own service. And then that got shut down, so they had to go to YouTube, which means like now they still suck as much. Only they can't show video clips because of copyright stuff. Which at that point they might as well just cancel and give up, so.
Oh, I didn't know that they can't do the clips of the movies anymore, because that was something they used to rely on pretty heavily. Didn't they used to use
Blip? Yeah, like if you're reviewing a movie, like you would have to rely on the clips of the movie to get your point across. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, didn't they used to use Blip as their hosting?
I didn't hear anything you just said.
Well, it doesn't matter. Let's just end it.
I feel some touch of love changing me, the man I've been just looking for. All my dreams come true now. 背中走る vibration 感じて just fall in love with you. あなた
But this, hang on. Let me see what I can do about my internet. I.e., get my brother off freaking.
I missed that episode.
Back.
Yeah, it seems like it's cutting out.
One sec.
I used the clip like with the woman blowing up and exploding. And, like, the panel I did because it's pretty funny.
Okay.
But then you mentioned about the English.
You think your connection is going to be better now?
Because it takes like the first episode, and in the episode with
have no idea. You wanna, let me hang up and then you can try calling me back and see what happens.
Okay.
Or something. Or Las Vegas Station.
All right.
Oh, that was a different one. Right? They're at a casino.
I have no idea.
Okay. In space. Well, let's just hope it is.
But see,
I'll do some editing magic. We'll pray to the gods of Skype and hell and see what they can do to help us review
something.
All right.
Yeah.